Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 16. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you, in your lifetime, received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, the allure and the distraction of riches. The rich man feasted so sumptuously every day and clothed himself in such fine linens that he could not even see poor Lazarus at his gate. He spent such time enjoying his finery and consuming his delicacies that he did not think to look up and help the one in need. Well, if the food and clothing of his time were a distraction for the rich man, imagine how our time would distract him. Between our $1,500 phones, our fancy cars, our TVs and streaming programs and computers, and we haven't even gotten to the food yet. I think you get the idea. He certainly would not have noticed poor Lazarus at his gate then, would he? What else besides distraction can explain his failure to care for poor Lazarus? Closer inspection of the text reveals, however, that it was not distraction, regardless of how much we might like to blame our sins and problems on our own distractions. This was not what was at fault in the rich man's case. It was not his food and his clothing that distracted him from Lazarus. He knew exactly who Lazarus was. He knew exactly who the man was laid up at his gate, covered in sores and cared for by the dogs. How do we know? He calls him by name when he calls up to Father Abraham. "Send Lazarus to me that he might drip some water on my tormented tongue." And his brothers, those five brothers who remained, they knew who Lazarus was too. The rich man asked that he would be sent back, that they could recognize this as the poor man they were already ignoring, or they had ignored. Maybe they would repent then. No, indeed, the rich man was not distracted from noticing poor Lazarus. The rich man failed to care for him out of pure, rank unbelief. He reveals at the end of his story that he and his brothers would do nothing to listen to Moses and the prophets. They had rejected the word of God, and thereby they had also refused to love God. Yesterday in his sermon, Pastor Denzer preached that love for God is spelled F-A-I-T-H. Perhaps we might say the same of the rich man's idolatrous love for wealth. He had his faith in his wealth, and his unbelief grew into pure idolatry. His failure to love God, to have faith in God, bore fruit in his refusal to care for his neighbor, to love his neighbor who laid at his gate covered in sores and licked by dogs. Beware, dear brothers, of your proclivity to blame distraction for your problems. The problem with your failure to love your neighbor is not your wealth, it's not your phones, it's not your cars, it's not your house, it's not even all the food that you have, or whatever else excuse you might put out there. The problem is the sinful human heart. It is unbelief that tugs at you. It bears fruit in the sinful flesh's desires to hold on to created things more than the Creator. What's interesting is here in Luke, right before this passage, our Lord has kind of squeezed between this passage and that of this dishonest manager a passage about marriage and divorce. It makes no sense in the context until you realize the point that Jesus is making is that our love for wealth is spiritual adultery. That by loving our wealth more than we are loving God, we are committing adultery, spiritual adultery before God. And the fact is, we are not so far from this temptation as we might think. When balanced budgets, whether professional or personal, give us more confidence than the preached word of God, we stand on the precipice. When we are more concerned with seeking the finer things of this life than the pure word of God, we stand at the edge. Repent and return to the Lord your God. Now I didn't have time to look this up, but I imagine there's some debate about the connection between this Lazarus and the Lazarus raised in the book of John. What's clear is that Jesus did in fact raise a Lazarus in John, and like he predicted here in Luke, it didn't convince the Pharisees. In fact, it's really fascinating to me when John reports how the Pharisees heard about Jesus raising Lazarus, he says that the Pharisees' response was something akin to this. He raised somebody from the dead, we got to kill this guy. It makes absolutely no sense to me. How do you reach this conclusion? But this is in fact what they did. The Pharisees did in fact kill him. They in fact killed the one who loved us enough to be covered with our sores and to dwell in our poverty, that he might heal us of our sin and raise us to the riches of heaven. He is indeed our Lazarus who brings those who hear and trust in his word to the bosom of Abraham. And he does this, as you hear, the preaching not only of Moses and the prophets, but also his apostles. Those who hear and receive this teaching become children of Abraham, not by virtue of blood and lineage, not like the rich man in hell, but by faith in the word of God. In this word, you have all the incomprehensible riches of God poured out for you in Christ Jesus. Through this word, he gives you a feast every Sunday, a feast of his body and blood, a feast that puts to shame any and every earthly food. By this word, he clothes you in the finest garment through the waters of baptism, that is the garment of his very own righteousness. Clothed in God's clothing, fed with God's food. What on earth can possibly compare with that? In the name of Jesus, Amen.